the baseball team is playing for a trip to the World Series.
You're darn right they are.
Yeah, Bubba.
Let's go.
We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's not allowed to be partial, even though he's from Cleveland. He's a columnist for MLB.com. I'll just leave it at that and not bring it up. He's our buddy. He's a native Northeast Ohioan. He's Anthony Castrovince. Hello, Anthony.
What's happening, Anthony?
Hello. You mean we're not going to talk about Deshaun Watson? We're going to talk about the guards? Let's do it.
You can call back in, 216-474-0092.
Well, yeah, get in line, and you can figure out who you want to blame.
Okay, let's get this out of the way. Oh, my God, what a fun season this has been. What a fun season. And I didn't. Did you think that this was remotely possible just at the beginning of this year?
Everything's possible. I thought it was possible within the division, but ALCS, no. I'm legitimately stunned that this team, you know, won a playoff series and is where it is right now, and it's just a credit to ultimately the bullpen and the management of the bullpen over the course of the year. You know, that's the number one thing. That's something that you just could not have forecast, because bullpens are notoriously difficult to forecast, even when it's known quantities back there. You know, you could bring back your entire bullpen from last year and have a completely different experience. And maybe that happens next year, but they had so many young guys step up in those, you know, high leverage relief roles that just completely swung the trajectory of the season.
It blew me away more than anything, Anthony, that here we are in a game five. Matt Boyd is rolling, gets you two innings, and then all of a sudden they go rookie, 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 all the way the rest of the way. Like, that to me is the most
Only two innings.
Yeah, after two innings. And then it's just a parade of rookies who proceed to mow down Tiger hitters. Like, that to me is the most unfathomable part.
Yeah. And for the record, I hated that. And, you know, it worked. It very easily could have not worked. You know, almost didn't work, but Lane Thomas kind of saved the day there. But, yeah, that was really teetering on the brink of overthinking it, you know, because – yeah, it's game five, all bets are off, all hands on deck, et cetera, but there was a real scenario where they run out of, you know, true relievers there. And, you know, next thing you know, it's Kevin Williams, you know, pitching in the 10th inning or something. So, it definitely ended up working to their advantage, but I won't say it on air, but that he took a risk. Let's just say that.
Yeah, ended up with eight pitchers in that game. Anthony, from just judging from what you just said, you thought the same thing that I thought. When Eli Morgan, I'm thinking, Eli, get a couple of outs. Just get to two outs in the eighth inning. When he gave up a hit to the first batter and Steven goes out, and I said, man, if Class A doesn't have it, what's he going to do? And
I thought Eli Morgan he was the unsung hero of the day.
Wasn't he?
Enormous. Yeah, definitely. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead with that thought because I thought when they brought Eli in, I thought, uh-oh, he's usually not pitched in situations like this.
Right.
Well, boy, did he pitch well.
That was absolutely monumental. And because he's a guy, I mean, you look, people who haven't followed this team all year will just kind of call up the numbers and say, oh, Eli Morgan, sub-2 ERA out of the bullpen. But he wasn't in a lot of high leverage, you know, moments this year. That just wasn't his role. So, yeah, he showed some stones there as well.
Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com, joining on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. All right, Anthony, let's spin it forward. So the roster came out. The biggest, at least to me, the biggest addition to this is Pedro Avila being a part of it and Ben Lively not being on the roster. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I figured they'd go with a 13-man pitching staff with the longer round and, you know, fewer off days, et cetera. And Lively, I get that because, you know, they do have Gavin Williams, I would presume, Joey Cantillo as well, but, you know, it's obvious one of those guys is going to start game four or be their fourth starter, I should say. I don't know the exact order of things, but my only thought there is just, you know, Ben Lively obviously is a big reason why the Guardians won the division. There's no question about it. Was he over his skis a bit? Probably, you know, based on his history and just kind of, you know, when you dig down in the dirty metrics and, you know, hard hit percentage and you know, whiff rates and chase rates and things like that. He probably got away with some things this year, and I think that caught up with him a bit in the second half a little bit. So there is that. And also, just facing the Yankees, I mean, there is something to be said for having some more sizzle in your starting rotation, giving them different looks in that regard, because you're rolling out. You know, you got Alex Cobb in game one. I mean, they're not hitting them with a ton of just raw stuff and velocity. So that'll be a different look in the rotation when that turn comes up versus Lively. So I think that's – I haven't talked to anybody about it yet, but that would strike me as the most logical thought process there.
Any chance you think he's out of gas?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not in his heart and head. I think he's still – you see him with the iPad and dugout. I think he's still bringing value of some sort to this squad. But, again, you just – you rely more on a longer-term track record than what he gave them in the first half. What he gave them was fantastic, but I like the way they've done their playoff roster construction this year, which is to not lean towards the guys who got you here necessarily, but lean towards the moment that we're in right now. You saw that with the composition of the bullpen, going into the division series where where they're, riding the hot hands as opposed to, keeping Nick Samlin on the roster. You know, that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard conversation to have with someone who's got some tenure here and has been a big part of what they've done in the last few years. But, you know, at the end of the day, Eric Sobrowski, he came up here and the stuff sizzled and, you saw what he was able to do in a handful of innings and you roll with it into the postseason. I don't think that's the kind of move they make in the Terry Francona era, to be honest with you. So that's just one distinction you kind of draw from now versus the past. And that's not to diminish anything Tito accomplished here. That just struck me as something like, oh, okay. It's kind of a different feel to going into October where we're going to ride the hot hands more than, the known quantities.
Alex Cobb getting the game one start for the Guardians. What do you think of that?
It's pretty fascinating. We saw last night Kodai Senga made his third start of the season, and it was his second start of the postseason, and he was a disaster.
He got rocked. That,
but it kind of speaks to where what we've seen in the game this year, where even the good teams are really scrambling to get meaningful innings from their starting staff. Been a lot of injuries and whatnot, and so now you have these unusual situations where Kodai Senga making his third start in LCS game one, and Alex Cobb, I've kind of lost track of how many starts. I think it was like three in the regular season, one in the postseason. So his fifth start of the year is in LCS game one. It's just welcome to baseball in 2024, hang with it. I like Alex Cobb a lot, and you gotta respect what he's given them when he has been able to take the ball. It's been pretty fascinating. Now, obviously it was very, in and out of game three of the division series against the Tigers. But, they really hope to get some length from him, I think, because you can't manage this series like you did the last series for a couple of reasons. One, it's a much different lineup you're facing. And two, you don't have this ridiculous number of off days in a short amount of time. So a seven-game series is a much bigger test.
What do you make of the fact that all four of these teams that are left basically each have one starter they feel good about and a whole lot of shakiness?
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
It's just the year we're in. It's sad because you've seen, pitchers are limited like never before. In terms, everyone's careful about pitch counts and whatnot and how they bring these guys up and develop them, and they throw fewer innings than ever. And they throw harder than ever, and that's a big reason why the injury rate is where it is. You got bullpen arms are developed differently, and bullpens are deeper than they've ever been before. Guys who would have been clear closers a decade or two ago are now like sixth-inning guy. Or look at Cade Smith. He's a third-inning guy in Game 5 of the division series. He's pitched anywhere from the third through the sixth innings, I believe, in this postseason. I mean, Cade Smith could close for a lot of teams right now. But he's deployed much earlier for this Guardians team. That's the nature of baseball in 2024.
Anthony Castrovince joining us, MLB.com. Last thing, the Guardians go to the World Series if, and let's go deeper than outscore the Yankees four times,
which is very difficult to do. But
yeah,
if the bullpen's not gassed, It's just that simple. Like, you know, that's the great fear in this is it took so much to get to this point, both in terms of winning the division and then overtaking the Tigers. It took Class A Smith, Heron, and Gattis all, you know, throwing north of 70 appearances. And then, you know, multi-inning outings. You know, Class A had to get six outs in the division series for the first time in his career to finish off game five. So, you know, and then one, you got one day off in between. And then it's start right up again against one of the best lineups in baseball. So, you know, it is that simple. If the bullpen performs like it's performed all year, they can absolutely beat the Yankees. The Yankees are absolutely pitchable. It's fascinating how different this series is than the one 2 years ago. And the Guardians pushed them to the brink 2 years ago with a much different pitching composition and less thump, and significantly less thump in the lineup. Now they have a little more thump in the lineup. It's still guards ball. You know, it's still contact and speed. It's not, you know, the 27 Yankees, that's for sure. But they do have more guys who can put the ball over the fence in big spots, as we saw with Thomas the other day. You know, that did not exist for them 2 years ago. So they have that going for them, and they've got a really good pitching plan. It's just, do these guys still have gas in the tank? That's all it's going to come down to.
I can't – you ready? Go ahead and slap me for this. I can't wait until this season is over and we start talking about what this team can do for next year, because I think there are fascinating moves on the horizon. So I need to back off and enjoy the moment, because this is going to be even more fun than it's been all season long. But, man, they're in a position where next year this is going to be really interesting in the offseason. There's some moves that might make everybody mad. But here you are in the ALCS, and that was the whole goal. So it's been a lot of fun. Well, one of the steps along the way to the ultimate goal. How's that?
Absolutely. You know, and hopefully this leads to, you know, like we saw when they unexpectedly made the World Series.
Yeah.
In 2016, you know, they went out and invested in the offseason. And I still say that 2017 team, as bad as it turned out against the Yankees in the division series, I mean, that was the best team I've been around here in Cleveland. I would stack it up against, you know, some of those 90s teams. They were just that good. They were probably, I think, the best run differential in franchise history. That's a long-winded way of saying, hopefully this leads to some investment. this unexpected run hopefully leads to good things in the future as well.
Awesome to have you with us. If you're bored later on in the series, because, you know, I'm sure you will be, we look forward to having you back with us. Thanks, Anthony.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Anthony Castrovince, read him at MLB.com. He's a great columnist and really knows his stuff. And it's always a pleasure to have him with us right here on Baskin and Phelps. So 1 o'clock for the head coach of the Browns. We'll hear Kevin's press conference right here on 92.3 The Fan. Looking forward to that. Anytime anything gets delayed, especially something that's usually as regimented as his press conference on Monday, gives me a pause just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, if there's one thing you can say about that guy, he's always on time. And when he's not on time, I have questions.
Yeah. I wonder what that's all about. Maybe nothing at all.
Yeah, hopefully everything's okay with the family.
Maybe a big. Yeah. I'm sure the family's fine. I'm guessing. I'm wondering if big conversation within the organization.
Yeah.
Or I'm wondering if maybe lunch wasn't ready on time.
Yeah.
So you never know, but we'll find out. 1 o'clock now for Kevin Stefanski, which gives us even more time to talk about the Guardians.
Could be anything from quarterback to, hey, I got to take my kid to half day kindergarten. You know.
Tonight you have Alex Cobb going up against his former Giants teammate, Carlos Rodon. Okay, either one. Anybody can get hot and go. That's terrific. You picked up Alex Cobb to pitch in games like this. He's going to pitch tonight. He went three innings in the ALDS. Dano, I would think, ideally, after using eight pitchers in Game 5 to get past the Tigers, which, by the way, is still stunning to me that it worked. I say that only I know how good the bullpen has been. The bullpen has been heavily used, and Matthew Boyd, though he had some traffic, went only two innings. I thought, wow, okay. You took him out before a second time through the lineup. I would think, ideally, if Stephen Vogt could say, I would like this out of Alex Cobb tonight, it would be six or seven innings. Get me through the sixth and maybe into the seventh, or get me through the sixth. I'm going to push it past five, because if he could rest that bullpen a little bit, it could set this team up for the rest of the series.
Well, let's lay down the groundwork. This series is going to be a little bit different than the previous series in that you're going to have less off days. And so the way that the guards did this, where they had these bullpen game, where they could just basically go, all right, one time through the lineup, and we could blow out the pen because
can't really
we know
do
we
that.
Have an off day here, and we know we have an off day here, and we know we have an off day here. That's gone because it's
Monday, Tuesday.
Yep, Monday, Tuesday in New York. You're off Wednesday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So that advantage of having all of those off days to rest those guys is a little bit out the window. So I think you might be onto something where you're looking at an Alex Cobb and going, okay, if you
like if he gives up two or three runs through four innings, he might be out there for a fifth.
It's on the table if it's been like, hey, they got one hard hit ball off of him, and it's not a whole bunch of traffic and walks and all of that kind of stuff. Like if it's just like one bomb that caused the situation. But like, I am with you. They can't ride this pen, and it makes me wonder what the plan B is if, let's say, Alex Cobb comes out and doesn't look absolutely dominant. Do you look
go
to split
Joey Cantillo and let him try and pitch three or four innings in relief?
Or do you look to split in New York? Do you look at game one and go, okay, let's unload the pen, let's get everybody out here, let's keep this thing as close as possible, and then game two we'll hand the ball to Tanner Bibee and go, all right, bud, we need seven innings. Go get him, Tiger. Like, I partially wonder if that might be the thought process. If we go 1-1 in New York, we feel good coming back to Cleveland for three.
Home field advantage to me in baseball doesn't mean a hill of beans. So if you get a chance, and it's nice to play in front of your home crowd. I get that.
I understand.
I'd rather have good pitching than a good crowd.
Numbers would tell you the same thing. Yep.
Yeah. So I would think that he's going to do, and he being Stephen Vogt, he's going to do what he's done all season, which is manage the bejeebers out of the game he's in and worry about the next day. And you know what? I don't have any issues with that. If he feels, and ideally, again, I want Cobb go, you know, six innings tonight, maybe more. That's unlikely. Let's go six. If he goes five, okay, and you can cut down on the bullpen usage, that's fine. If he goes two or three and you're in trouble, man, and you want to do what you did the other day, okay, great. Roll out all those relief pitchers. But that might mean in game two, you know, you go coming out of the pen with Cantillo, coming out of the pen with Gavin Williams, and ask those guys to
Pedro Avila.
Right, and ask those guys to go three, you know, to eat up some innings so that you're not dead meat when you get back to Cleveland. And have to play three games in 3 days.
And especially with the workload that you've been putting on Class A is the other part. Okay, go. We need you for two innings here. We need you for an inning and a third here. We need that's a guy that's not used to having that much of a workload. And granted, adrenaline does a hell of a thing. And, you know, it is the playoffs. And these guys train to throw 40, 50 pitches. You know, that way you got a great 20 in the same way that if you're an 100-meter sprinter, you train the 200 and you train the 400 so that your 100 is a little bit easier on you. So I get it from that perspective, but I don't think you are going to see the parade of relievers that you once did in this series.
Let me ask you this one. Pitching, we obviously think, is the key. I want to ask you about the position players on the roster because it's a little different than it was. And it might have been a little tight before. Guardians, game one tonight, ALCS, Guards, Yankees.
Let's go!
Alex Cobb. Alex, we hardly know you, but please come through for us on a huge stage.
I think he'll do well.
He's made, what, four starts for the Guardians this year.
I think he'll do well. He'll keep the ball down. He will definitely challenge Judge. He will challenge, you know, he'll challenge Soto. The big thing with them is, you know, it's Judge, it's Soto, and you have a hot Giancarlo Stanton right now. I mean, that makes that lineup oh so much longer when Giancarlo Stanton is at one of his peaks, and he's at one of his peaks now. So, it's going to be tough. Look, it's those damn Yankees, you know? They always seem to find their way.
You know?
And then they always seem to do their stupid Yankee pixie dust stuff and take a guy like Luke Weaver, who's been kicked around the league for 9 years, and all of a sudden he's an unhittable closer. Why? Because we're the Yankees. Ugh.
Weaver saved every game.
Insufferable.
Against Kansas City.
I know. And he was awful. Awful for an extended period of time. I mean, that guy got kicked around by, like, seriously, six or seven different teams, and all of a sudden he became a Yankee, and they sprinkled their magic pixie dust on him, and now he's good.
Let's go over the playoff roster here for the ALCS. We talked about the pitching staff. They added a pitcher, Pedro Avila, who was not on the ALDS roster, has been added. They have 13 pitchers on the roster, and they have 13 position players. So they took a position player off the roster, and that's Angel Martinez. So I think they're okay, but I think they're limited, Dano. And let me tell you why. You're going to play Josh Naylor. You're going to play Andrés Giménez, Brian Rocchio, Jose Ramirez, Bo Naylor. Okay, that's set. You're going to play Stephen Kwan. You're going to play Lane Thomas. You're set.
Yep.
That means everybody else, you have David Fry, who can DH for you.
Always seems to do the right thing at the right time.
David has been a godsend this year.
Really has?
He has.
That's
been
a great way to put it,
the
man.
The only issue, his elbow injury, he can't play anywhere.
Right.
He can DH. You have Austin Hedges, who can be a catcher for you and nothing else. He's not going to play any other position. So you have him coming off the bench and terrific defensive catcher. And maybe he gets a big hit once in a while, but obviously he's not a terrific offensive player. You have Kyle Manzardo, who can't play anywhere for you but first base. You're not going to play him in a playoff series in the outfield.
I mean, this is the organization, and it was Terry Francona as well, but this is the organization that took Carlos Santana and put him in the outfield in the World Series.
You're not going to play Kyle Manzardo in the outfield in a playoff series.
I think it's on the table.
You're not going to play Kyle Manzardo in the, if I say it often enough, I'll talk it into being, you're not going to play Kyle Manzardo in the outfield in a playoff series.
I think it's on the table.
Quiet.
It's on the table.
Quiet. You also then have Daniel Schneeman. Daniel is, hey, this guy went down. Anywhere but catcher. Go play it.
In case of emergency, break glass. That's the best way to put him.
Anywhere we need you, Daniel, go. And if we're getting rocked, you might pitch.
Hopefully it doesn't come to that. If it comes to that, we've got a lot of other problems on our hands.
I just don't think they have a ton of versatility position player-wise on the bench. I also don't know that they'll need it.
No.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, think of it. Fry can't play a position right now.
Maybe first. Maybe. That would be the only one.
Okay, fine. Manzardo, I only want at first. So that's two first basemen. That's it. Schneeman can play anywhere. And you have Noel and you have Brennan, who will probably platoon in the outfield. Man, that doesn't give you a whole lot. That's counting on Schneeman playing second if needed, short if needed, third if needed, outfield if needed.
Do you take anything, and I ask you, you've done this many more time than I have, do you take anything from the fact that David Fry is listed as a backup catcher on that roster?
No.
Okay.
No. And I think that's interesting, too.
I thought that was fascinating.
If David were healthy, if his elbow were okay, boy, it gives you a lot more flexibility. David came up as a shortstop. You know, I don't know if anybody even remembers that now. But when he was in college, he was early on a shortstop, infielder, catcher, outfield. I mean, he can play anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather have him with the ability to play anywhere than Daniel Schneeman. And Daniel's done a nice job this year. It's nothing against him. But David obviously has more pop. But right now, with David's injury to his arm, he can't throw, which means he can't play.
Right. I think first base is a stretch. Yeah. You got to be in some serious problems.
Especially when you actually have three other guys that you can play at first base.
Right.
You have Naylor, you have Manzardo, and Jonkenzie Noel can play some first base if needed.
Yeah. Yeah, they did have that during the season a little bit. So
you could have that. But anywhere else, I think you just better make sure everybody else stays healthy. You could replace somebody, obviously, if they have a serious injury.
Right, you got Angel Martinez that you can look to.
And he's with the team, you know, so he's not on the roster, but hopefully you don't have to replace anybody. You're locked in with Kwan in left.
Beautiful.
And with Lane Thomas in center field.
It's an adventure, but it's there.
Well, and that's okay. Wouldn't, for instance, forgive me. I don't want to make any Terry Francona people mad. Lane Thomas was playing center field in a game five. And if you didn't win it, you go home. Who do you think was playing center field in that game last year?
Miles Straw. All day, every day would have been Miles Straw.
If Terry Francona were managing this year, who would have been playing center field?
Miles Straw.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Instead, it was Lane Thomas, and boom, he has the hit of the season.
He does. He has the hit of the season. He did misplay a ball out there.
So what? I've told you this before. I live by this. I have a buddy who played college baseball in the Big Ten, and he gave me a line that cracked me up. He said, I wasn't real crazy about my coach in college. He said, I didn't think he was very good. But he had a line that has stuck with me forever. He said, you're not very good with a glove, huh? You're going to let in one run every game, but you're going to hit in two? Go to left field, son. You're in the lineup.
It's the old Manny Ramirez theory. That was Manny Ramirez to a T. He's like, well, we can't play David Ortiz anywhere. So, yeah, go make a mess of left field.
Serious. You know what I mean? So, if you let in one, but hit in two, that's a plus one.
Sounds like my golf game.
And that's what I think about Lane Thomas. Great. And if you have to, okay, what are you going to do there? You could play Will Brennan in center. You could play Stephen Kwan in center. And you certainly could play Daniel Schneeman in center field.
Make it work. Yep.
Because, you know, Daniel has that center field pedigree as a former infielder.
On this team, get out there, son. You've had some reps.
Oh, God. Jonah is in Canton. Jonah.
How are you, Jonah?
Hey, how we doing, fellas?
We're good. Great.
Hey, go Guards. Screw the Yankees. It's our time. Let's go. Lock in. Hey, just coming on here. I'm really proud of the Guards. It's been a heck of a season to watch. If nothing comes out of it, still been fun. But, hey, we're looking for that World Series right now. Wanted to ask a couple questions. You know, just thinking about Vogt. What has he meant to the city of Cleveland? I'm thinking about end of the season. We bring Manzardo up. Manzardo hits that game-winning homer. And tears in the press conference. Like, you just tell this guy loves the team. He cares about the guys. It's special to watch. What does he mean to the city of Cleveland? And what could a World Series mean to the MLB? You know, Yankees being a big market team. Heck, we come across the Dodgers in the series. They're a big market team. And you know, we're closer to a smaller market. And what does that mean for the – does it mean anything – or does it mean something big for the MLB? Love
Jonah,
it
hammers home parity. I mean, that's really what it does, is it hammers home that everybody every season has a shot. And it means that you don't need to go out there and get your, you know, and get a Shohei Ohtani, and you can win without having Aaron Judge on your roster or signing a Juan Soto and all that stuff. While I'll be the first to tell you, winning is easier when those guys are on your rosters. It's not a hands-down requirement to do it if you have the other things that make it work.
Jim is in Strongsville. Jim.
What's happening, Jim?
First off, I have full confidence and trust in any major leaguer that sports the mustache.
That's a really good point.
Let's start with that. Secondly, you guys had, I'm going to call him Jude Law. I know it's not who he was, but you had him on midseason talking about, well, the Guardians just good because they're in the weak central. And now you hear these guys on the postgame show, oh, the Yankees definitely have the easiest bet. The Central was probably the best division in baseball this year. The best division in baseball. They got three teams to the divisional series. What more does this division have to do for these guys, Pedro and all these guys, to be standing up there basically sticking their noses up at the Central? It's so infuriating because it's not like what Baltimore stunk at the end by the end of the year. The Astros, yes, they had the pedigree, but they were listless by the end of the year. So I just don't understand. I mean, that to me, why I want to go punch the Yankees in the face is because I'm so tired of hearing about how bad the Central is. Finally, it's not a bad division. And nobody seems to want to come around to that. It's very frustrating. I would love to see them beat the Yankees and then beat the Dodgers. And you know what? LA and New York fall off a cliff.
There you go, Jim. Thank you very much.
I'm not that far. It's, you know, hey,
the Tigers are going to be good for a while.
Heck yeah.
They've got a nice
Royals
young team.
Royals are pointing straight up,
Royals
too.
Are looking really good.
So the Twins aren't going to go anywhere.
The Twins aren't going anywhere. I mean, and the White Sox stink. Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up, right?
Oh, as long as Jerry Reinsdorf owns that team's not going anywhere.